Lord Jesus, we do adore you. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for loving us like crazy. So much so that we are literally eternally in your debt. Golly, we thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you for the forgiveness we have in you. We praise you. We praise you, and we always will. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, why don't you guys have a seat for a second? Let me read to you from Revelation, where we're going to spend a little bit of time today. We're going to actually be looking at end times, and I'm kind of excited about this. I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to be able to preach this the way it needs to be preached, because it really should be preached in a series, because there's a whole lot of stuff we need to spend time on. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to touch on a few things that I want to touch on, and that I think God wants us to hear today. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7 says this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And the guy who's seeing this is John, okay? John is seeing this. Then I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. He's a guy who was hanging out with Jesus, all right? For like, was Jesus walking around? John's walking around with Jesus, okay? Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God. And he will be my people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me pray for us. Let me pray for us. Jesus, as we come to hear from you, I pray, Jesus, that you would simply open up our hearts. I pray that you would open up our minds to hearing your word in all of its truth, and that you would stir in us. I love that song that we're singing there. Stir up in us, Holy Spirit. And we ask especially that you would do that right now. Stir up in our hearts your word, so that it would be a word that doesn't just hit our ears, but that it would kind of get down deep into our hearts. That you'd shape us and change us and mold us this morning. That what's about to take place would be a real thing that actually happens, not just concepts, not just ideas, not just kind of some cool thoughts. No, real. Let it be real for us, God. Please do that work in us that only you can do. And then I pray right now for myself that simply my words would be your words, God, not a word more and not a word less than what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus' second coming gives shape to our present living. This is kind of my main point for the day. You could literally stand up and go home. You've got it. This is the message. This is the tweetable thought. This is like, now start tweeting this baby out. Right here. This is what I want you to get more than any other thought throughout the whole kind of message. I'm not kidding. Jesus' second coming begins to give a certain kind of direction to our present living. The second coming of, last week, what did we talk about? Christmas. Little baby Jesus, right? Oh, little baby Jesus, right? That's the first coming of Jesus, okay? Well, we know that Jesus is coming back. The second coming is going to happen, right? Jesus promises to return. That second coming is not simply a concept or idea that we can kind of look at and say, cool, we'll kind of figure that out when we get there. No, it's actually something that's given to us so that it can actually begin to, yes, be something that's to come, but that is actually something that is also something that's beginning to shape us even now. It becomes the lens through which we can see all sorts of things. It actually becomes the lens through which we can see literally everything, which is why my 3 points that I'm going to make in just a bit is kind of funny, because I could make a lot of points, but I'm trying to spare you and give you 3, okay? Just imagine with me, a guy comes up and says to 2 other guys, he says, I'm going to give you a job. And what I want you to do is I want you to work. I'm going to give you a job for the next 6 months stacking styrofoam. Okay? Anybody hate the sound of styrofoam? Yeah, amen. Okay, are you serious? Only 2 of you? I hate this noise. Like, you don't even know how bad this it's making me nervous. Mark, are you, like, freaking out, dude? You okay? Oh, my gosh. Do you just hate that? That doesn't bother you? Anybody? Okay, well, then I totally missed. This is going to be a really terrible analogy for you. I hate this. You know, opening the Christmas gifts and you get the little styrofoam and that just is the worst. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking, what if a guy came up and said, for 6 months, you got to stack styrofoam and just kind of be moving styrofoam around. But at the end of that 6 months, I'll give you $20,000. What if a guy were to say that? You got to work kind of like 9-to-5 kind of job, but you got to mess with styrofoam. And I couldn't do that for $20,000. What if he said to another guy, I'm gonna let you work with styrofoam. You're gonna have to do the exact same job, but at the end of it, after end of 6 months, 9-to-5, I'm gonna give you $20 million. Right? Now, the end, right? The end result is going to give a whole lot of shape to the way in which these guys work those 6 months, right? They're going to engage that task differently. They just will. The one guy's going to, if it's me, he's going to opt out. I'm going to go find a different job. I'm going to go work at Taco Bell. I'm just saying. See what I'm saying? I love Taco Bell. I'm sure you get some good deals at Taco Bell when you're working there. And so I'm going to opt out of that job, and I got to go do something else. I can't do this anymore. But the other guy, even if he hates styrofoam, knowing he's going to get $20 million on the other end, he's going to just be kind of like chilling out, right? Just think about that. If that was real. He's going to engage that job in a different way. It's going to shape him. He's not going to care about it being styrofoam. Yeah, it's a little annoying. It's okay. I'll make it work. I'm going to go, it's really annoying, actually, but I'm going to continue to do this. There's no way I'm quitting. I'm going to keep pressing in. See, Jesus gives to us a picture here of the end. John is describing what he's seeing, and it's a picture that he's giving to us to begin to shape and mold us even now. See, the Christian story is one with kind of a beginning that is like, you'd maybe use the word creation, right? And a lot of times we think that the things in the past are only the things that shape us. So we think of God as being a creator God. And then we think of creation. We maybe then think of man's rebellion or the fall into sin, right? So man rebels against God. So creation, rebellion. And then you have this story of God working with all sorts of different people, broken people. And then he starts working with this people of Israel, and he just continually shows us over and over again how much he's willing to forgive and love and be in covenant relationship with his people. And then he gets all the way to Jesus dying on the cross. So there's creation, there's rebellion, and then you might have something like redemption. And so Jesus dies on the cross, shedding perfect blood for me and for you, paying the price for our sin. And then there's this kind of working with Jesus in that, and Jesus just forgiving us. And just a little bit ago, we got to receive forgiveness. But then there's also really clearly from Scripture another really key word, which is restoration. And God bringing full restoration to His creation. It's kind of this long storyline that we are part of. It's the story of the world. It's the story of God working with the world. It's, quite honestly, it's the worldview that we kind of work from. But my point is simply this. Everybody's got a worldview. Everybody has an end. Everybody. Even if you don't have one, you have one. And the reality is that end, not only the past, but even the future, begins to shape us even now. And if your end is simply that you die and you go rot in the ground and that's it, that will shape you. That will shape decisions you make. It'll be a lens by which you view the rest of your life. If your end is that you get, reincarnated as a frog, or maybe you get reincarnated as even a better person, that will shape you. It will shape the way in which you engage life. And so, literally, Jesus' second coming shapes our present living. It's, yes, something to come, but it's also giving a shape to every aspect of our life. The second coming of Jesus gives shape to our marriages. The second coming of Jesus shapes us in the decisions that we make every single day. The second coming of Jesus is a lens by which we can look at singleness. I am single, but I see through this lens. I'm trying to figure out if I should get married, and it's through this lens that I'll look. I lost, maybe it's a loss. Maybe it's someone we've lost and care so deeply about. And so maybe it's through this lens that we look at the loss or the suffering that we endure. It's literally everything. We can literally look at every aspect of our life through this lens of Jesus returning. And there's three points that I want to make off of that main point. Ay, ay, ay. There's three things I want to touch on that I believe Jesus' second coming begins to shape our present living for these three things. Creation matters. That's my first one I want to look at. Don't click to them yet, but I'm just going to quick tell you what I'm going to be talking about. Creation matters. The second one is that we can face anything. And the third one is that, I just want to make sure I'm getting it right, to be ready, okay? And I'm going to share what those look like. So it's just kind of very simple layout today. Three points. Here they are. Creation matters. Look at Revelation 21, verse 3. We just read this. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Creation matters. Did you hear my story that I just kind of laid out for you? Creation, rebellion, redemption, restoration. See, so many teachings out there have taught us, and many of us have come to believe, that the main thing is for us to kind of get out of here. It's called essentially escapism. And so even within some Christian kind of teaching on this, we have some ideas floating around out there where like Jesus comes back and then we hightail it out of here. Okay? Now I know I'm going to be pushing on even some of you. And that's why I'm doing this, because there's some thoughts out there where essentially Jesus kind of like the material or the earth, the creation, it kind of mattered for a while, but then once it all got screwed up, Jesus is going to just kind of push it aside, and we're all just going to be spirits floating around. Well, that's not true. Jesus comes, and the key verbiage in here is what? To dwell where? With his people. Now, there is a newness. Don't get me wrong. You're all saying, yeah, but there's a passing awayness of the old. Yet you're right. There is a passing awayness. There is a new creationness to it. But I'm going to challenge you to think one of the greatest pieces of Scripture. This is kind of one of the most bizarre. You might know, you remember the verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the what? The world, right? His creation. He takes delight in his creation. This should give you great peace as a creature. As somebody that God has created, God loves his creation. And he sends Jesus to redeem us, all of us, our soul, our spirit, our flesh. He comes to restore us, to redeem us, and then eventually restore us. And the best picture, and this is kind of the, you're going to be surprised that I even turn here, but it's one of the most bizarre kind of verses actually in Scripture. One of the best pictures we have of the restored kind of new creation, you know what it is? And actually, real people got to see it. It's Jesus after the resurrection. It's Jesus. Listen, see, Jesus is, remember last week when I was talking about that Colossians text, Colossians 1:18, he's the firstborn from the dead. He's the first fruits, other texts talk about all over the place. He's the first fruits of the new creation. See, Jesus, listen to this, in Luke, look at this. Jesus has been, Jesus has just risen from the dead. He's hanging out with his disciples. And then in verse 41, and while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, Jesus said to them, he said, hey, have you guys got anything to eat here? And then what happens? They give him a piece of fish, and they're watching him like crazy. This guy just walked through a locked door, so there's something very new about this. But then he takes this piece of fish, he puts it in his mouth, and he swallows it, and the Pirates of the Caribbean scene doesn't happen. You know, it all just kind of drops out. It's like a piece of fish stayed inside of Jesus. What is that? Well, there's a newness going on, and Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. And see, when we kind of, well, we don't get to see that right now, but when those first disciples and the hundreds and hundreds of others, witnesses, got to see Jesus, they're looking at flesh. I mean, he's real. They could touch him. Come on. Come and touch my hands. Come and see this. There's a scar here. There's a hole in my side. Now, how new is it? How new is the passing away of the... I don't know. I'm not claiming to know. All I'm saying is that Scripture begins to push us to think more about a physical... We're all sitting around eating and drinking, having a great time and enjoying heaven more than us, more that then like just material goes over here and we're all spiritual floating up in the clouds and just kind of chilling out for all of eternity as spirits. We got to be careful with that. And I want to push your thinking on that a little bit. Now I realize with every single one of my points there are so many things we could talk about. And so if you ever want to chat more about any of this kind of stuff, I want to chat with you. Trust me. I've been digging in all week. But we don't just float around as spirit. Now, in our death, there is a separation of the spirit and the flesh. And when does it? There's some difficult stuff. But all I'm saying is creation matters to God. And I want you to understand that. Because if you don't understand this, then in a sense, you don't matter to God. See, God loves his creation. He takes delight in it. This is what it's all about, creation. Rebellion, but God just keeps coming after his creation. And I'm going to bring restoration to it. Okay? I want you to get that. That's the first thing. Creation matters. God loves you so much. And notice in that Revelation text, he wants you to drink from the water without payment. Without payment to be fully restored. This is a picture of our full restoration someday. The resurrection of the body. Even I'm kind of along the lines of I was reading a book this past week by N.T. Wright, who's just a leading theologian. I disagree with some things that he says, but he makes some great arguments. You know, even some of the Bible texts And some of you that have, you know, read the Bible a little bit, you know, where like the people go up to meet be with Jesus, to meet him. He makes the case, and it's a great case, that it's more along the lines of people, and this would have been, people understood this, of an emperor who's coming to town, and they go out to meet him to bring him back in. We don't go just out to Jesus to then go float away for all of eternity. We go meet Jesus in his return to bring him back in, where he will rule and reign for all of eternity in the new creation. Well, how new? I understand there's some difficulties there. But creation matters to God. You matter to God. We believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. And he comes to judge the living and the dead. He's coming back, right? Okay, that's my first point. My second point is simply this. I got to keep moving. Jesus' second coming shapes our present living in such a way that we can actually face anything. We can face anything. Revelation, when we read through Revelation, the book of Revelation, oftentimes we think, here's God trying to be funny with us, trying to confuse the heck out of us about stuff, you know? God's got a good sense of humor. But if you stop and recognize that John is writing this to churches all over the Roman Empire at this time, for what purpose? Well, to focus our attention on Jesus, of course, but to also bring a people who are being who are under incredible persecution at this time. And he's giving them a picture of hope. He's providing them with an end that they can get through anything. And this is a church that's being persecuted by the thousands, sometimes being hung on crosses on the road leading up to Rome. So that people as they're walking by, yep, those are the Christians. We don't want to be one of those guys. These are the Christians who are being fed to the beasts and the lions, and they're going into this, and it's like, to what end? What's the purpose of life? And John is writing his stuff out. Jesus has given me a vision. And he's writing his visions out. And he's there's our hope. Jesus is coming back. And through this lens, you know, this is our First Peter text. I had the opportunity to preach on this not too long ago. But look at this. First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he's caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, who is the firstborn of the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. This is a living hope that we have. Living hope. And all of a sudden, we can step, folks. Gosh, I get the sense that you're not seeing the value in this. You can step into this next year with no fear. You can literally step into this next year without anxiety. You can step into this next year worry-free, with the second return of Jesus in mind. Do you realize that? That doesn't mean that it just takes away all the pain. It doesn't mean it takes away all the hard times. It doesn't mean it just, no, I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is, now, not to make light of our suffering by any means, but you can get through that. See? You can get through that. When you know that Jesus is coming to wipe away every tear from your eye, where there's no more sin, where there's no more death, where there's no more pain, we can start to, I can get through this. And what can actually happen is it can actually begin to shape, and I believe that the early church had a better understanding of the end than me and you do oftentimes, because so often Paul says things like, don't be anxious about anything, and we're like, how can you say that? I think he really believes Jesus is about to come back any second. This is what they believed. And you and I were just kind of like, yeah, maybe. Hopefully he makes it back. So, you know. And is our posture one that we actually believe he's coming back soon? You can step into this next year without fear, without worry, I think sometimes some of the way in which the end times is taught is it's actually taught in such a way that it brings worry, it brings fear, and there's a sense in which we should have a healthy fear of God and judgment. I get that. Which kind of leads us into my last point. But we can have incredible peace. We can have joy in the midst of suffering with Jesus coming back in mind. Okay, my last point. Jesus' second coming shapes our present living in such a way that we would be ready. The second to the last verse in Scripture is Jesus telling us he's coming back soon. I'm coming back soon. Right here, Revelation, whatever it is, 20, boom. Be ready. He who testifies, these things, surely I'm coming. Amen, come Lord Jesus. Jesus is saying, I'm coming back soon. I'm coming back soon. Really soon, I'm coming back. And recently, actually, one of the things that really triggered this message for me more than probably any others is some, with President Trump saying that now Jerusalem is the capital of Israel or whatever. Did anybody see that? See that stuff? Okay. So I've got some people that I'm knowing I'm connected with who really believe that, you know, that's a really good thing or bad. I'm not saying anything about any of that political stuff here. All I'm saying is there's some people who say that, like, the actual temple in Jerusalem needs to be rebuilt before Jesus comes back. I have friends that say that. Who believe that. We got to build this temple in Jerusalem again. Boom, 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 boom. All this kind of stuff's got to happen. And here's what I'm just going to tell you. You can argue with me, you can whatever, but this is what the church has taught since the beginning, folks. Jesus can come back right now. He's coming back soon. I want to show you this text from, I don't want to go there quite yet, but that's okay. Matthew 24, 36 through 36. Here it says this. Jesus is talking here. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Verse 44, therefore you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Jesus is coming back soon. He's coming soon. I remember my mom, we'd be doing our homework or something, and she'd have to go to town, and she'd say, all right, I want you doing your homework, okay? Yeah, Mom, we're doing our homework. I'm going to be back really soon. Yeah, okay, sounds good, Mom. She'd take off. We'd turn on the TV, right? That's what she'd do. Kids, no ideas. Yeah. It's like, yep, I get it. Dude, you better be careful, man. Just saying. Right? You turn on the TV. Yeah, she's not going to be back that soon. I mean, she's got to run there, and then she's got to come back, and then we've got to figure it all out. And then all of a sudden, she comes walking through the door, and she's back soon. And you haven't done jack, right? You know what I'm saying? Jesus is coming back soon. Now, you might say, yeah, but he hasn't come back for 2,000 years. Come on, yeah. I get that kind of thinking, but he's coming back soon. And all of a sudden, like a thief in the night, boom, he's there. And one of the pieces that I really want us to take away, and as a church to really understand, is we are called to be ready. We are called to be ready for his return. Well, what does that mean, to be ready? What does that look like? I hope Jesus doesn't come back when I'm, you know, doing something bad or something, right? Sometimes we think that. Or maybe I hope Jesus doesn't, when he comes back, I hope he catches me while I'm, you know, down at the soup kitchen or something. Man, wouldn't that be great? You know what I mean? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. These are the things you're thinking about. And let me say something. There is a sense in which his return should shape some of that thinking. His return should shape us to think, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Even if it helps you to think, he could come back right now. Let that shape you into not sinning. Let that shape you into leaning into something good. But ultimately, what it means to be ready is, and I just kind of found really succinctly, I mean, all over the place, we could look at different scriptures that talk about different things. But 1 John chapter 5, verse 5 says this. Who is it that overcomes the world? The one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Who is it that overcomes the world? He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We can ready ourselves today. Today, my mom texted me this morning. She said, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I got that text from her this morning. Just reminding all my family, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is a day given to us by God for us to ready ourselves. And so if you don't have faith in Jesus Christ, I want you to understand that Jesus has given a day, days to give to you so that we might ready ourselves, so that we might follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit who's leading us and guiding us to repent of our sins and to say, Jesus, you are my Savior. I do trust that you're going to return to restore and make all things new. I believe the story. I believe the Christian story. You've died on the cross for my sins. Thank you for your salvation. Listen, you can ready yourself today for that. And for those of us who already believe it, we continue to ready ourselves through reminding each other and encouraging each other. Man, this is the day the Lord has made. This is the day the Lord has made. And we continue to encourage each other in Hebrews 10, verse 25. Don't stop meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And so as Christians, we continue to encourage each other, and we continue to ready each other. He's coming back. He's coming back. Yeah, I know you went through that terrible, terrible thing, and I'm going to be right here, and I'm going to mourn with you, and I'm going to suffer with you through this. He's coming back, though. He's coming back. I know you just lost your job. He's coming back, though. I know this just happened. He's coming back, though. What decision should you make? I don't know. Let's think about it in the context of Jesus returning soon. Let's think about this. Boo, 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 boo. And every aspect of our life, we can start to see through Jesus returning soon. There's some weird stuff out there about end times, folks. Just do a little Google search. End times. Is goofy. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think it's as confusing as people make it out to be. I think it's actually pretty simple. Jesus is coming back soon to make all things new. And when he does, he's coming to judge the living and the dead. And he who overcomes the world is he who has faith in Jesus. I think it's that simple. I really do. Now, I realize there's stuff we can talk about and cool stuff. And you could study end times forever. N.T. Wright's book that I've been reading all week. I mean, it is just fascinating. But there's a simplicity to it. And it's not to try to confuse the heck out of you. It's actually to bring you hope. It's actually to bring you, even more than the word hope, I think it's actually meant to bring you life. True life, even now. As we rise up through our baptisms as new creatures, we begin to actually live that life. Still in the context of a sinful, broken world, but we start to see glimpses of the new creation even now. And to me, that's a whole different way of thinking about it than the way I kind of grew up thinking about it. Is that true? I don't know if that's true for you or not. But my prayer is that maybe something this morning, I realize there's a lot was said, but my prayer is that something maybe just kind of sparked in you, just a thought, that maybe a simpler thought. You know, we come into this sermon oftentimes thinking, oh man, it's going to be really complex. Which day is Jesus coming back? No, those people are so goofy. That's so silly to me. Right? You see what I'm saying? We keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And he's coming back soon. Maybe this afternoon. That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. If you want to chat more about this, I'd love to have that conversation with you. You can always email me, SethKunze@gmail.com, with questions or thoughts too, if you want to pick up the conversation. I'd welcome that. I really would. And, okay, let's pray. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, holy smokes, I'm looking at my time here, Jesus, and you let me go really long today. I don't know, God, maybe you wanted it to go that long. Maybe I just got too long-winded. I don't know. But even this moment, I run through that lens that you are returning soon. And I just pray, Jesus, that you would take this time, these words now that's kind of been spoken from your word, and I pray, Jesus, that you would shape us and mold us and continue to make us look more like you, Jesus. And I don't say that actually just like, I say that really. Continue to make us look more and more like you every day. Thank you, Jesus, for today, where we can ready ourselves for your return. We praise you for that, God, so much. And Jesus, we know. You tell us why you don't come back right now. Because the Father wants more people to be connected to you. And so, in the meantime, continue to grow us to be those who would go out as shining lights and take you to other people so that they might have redemption shared with them so that one day, too, they might be fully restored. We look forward to that day, God. There are so many people in this room that have gone through so many hard times. We have suffered loss. We have suffered disease. We have suffered brokenness. We have suffered a kind of persecution. We think of the Christians around the world who are suffering under real persecution. And we just think, God, of, we just want to thank you for that promise that you're going to come back to restore all things and dwell with your people. You're going to come to dwell with us. That's mind-blowing, God. That's mind-blowing. Man, amen and amen. Our God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, may He go with you the rest of this week as He even now dwells among you, but someday fully go with that peace, joy, everything that Spirit of God does in us. Go with that this next week. Amen.